Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Put Your Foot On It podcast with myself, Jack Guthrie, and we have Harrison Lane.
All right, everyone.
And Lewis Blackmore.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we're coming to the back end of the Premier League season. So today, we're going to be covering the PFA Player of the Year nominations, the Young Player of the Year nominations, as well as talk about the Champions League that's happened over Easter, because we've been away for a few weeks. And, you know, we really want to get back into talking about football. So we're going to start off with the Player of the Year nominations for the Premier League. So the player nominations were Raheem Sterling, Bernardo Silva, Sergio Aguero, Sadio Mane, Virgil van Dijk and Eden Hazard. Guys, what do we think of the nominations? Who do we think should win?
Well, I mean, I think it's between two people. I think it's between Van Dijk and Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, everyone else deserves an honourable mention.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, there's obviously people are going to miss out. I mean, not that there's anyone in the Premier League that's utterly stood out this season in other teams. I think Hazard is a dubious decision, but if we look at goal involvements, like Jack has stated to me, then Hazard does deserve
the token Chelsea fan here, and I'll stand by it. But I think, yeah, I was having a look earlier, and I think he's got 29 goal contributions, 16 goals and 13 assists, I think it is, which
is,
I think is the most in the league.
It's his best season,
I think
right?
It's his best season.
And how long has he been there now?
He's been here since, I think he's 7 years now.
Yeah,
he's been
at Chelsea. 2012 he started, didn't he? Yeah.
It's crazy that, I mean, he's always been a standout player, but he's usually 1 year on, 1 year off.
Yeah, well, there was that year off when Leicester won the title that he wasn't existent until the game where he scored against Spurs, which won Leicester the title.
Yeah.
The problem I have with Hazard being in there is that, I mean, Chelsea haven't had a good year. I mean, really. So,
well, we could potentially still get third, which is all right.
It's not bad, but you think of the Chelsea of the past, but, you know, winning titles and being well up there by the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I think Hazard's just a bright spark in a somewhat underperforming team this
Massively.
Year.
Massively.
So that's probably what's made him stand out the most, would you say?
Yeah. The fact that he's been the sole player to carry us. Like, if ever we perform badly or in results where, you know, you expect us to win and we haven't, he's been the person to rely on too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can go on and look at the league now and there's not really any other players in the six nominations that could be in
the
nominations.
The rest of the other players aren't players that took the team on their back and brought them forward, because Sterling and Silva and Aguero have all had brilliant seasons.
Three best players in the Man City
in a very strong Man City team, though, however. Really?
Yeah, 100%. You know,
I think they're a lot more of a team sort of playing together as opposed to just one or two players playing, you know, especially well.
I mean, most of the time, the player of the year usually goes to the team that win the league.
Mm.
But whoever wins the league out of Liverpool and City, Van Dijk or Sterling, it could go either way. It will not go down to who wins the league. I mean, Van Dijk's obviously in there for the fact that Liverpool have lost one game this season. He hasn't been dribbled past in over a year, and he's just a rock at the back.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Sterling, I'm pretty sure this is his highest goal involvement in the season.
Yeah,
he's
I'd
up
say
there,
so, yeah.
He's up there with the top goal scorers in the league. And he, I mean, out of a team full of superstars, Sterling has shone above everyone else. Even though
Aguero
scored more goals, Sterling has scored the goals and got the assists.
His individual performances have been the standout for City, you know?
I mean, I know his England appearances don't have anything to do with PFA Player of the Year.
But that does demonstrate that as well, doesn't it? You know, he's played well not just for his club, but for his country as well.
But I think that's the same with near enough all the players there as well. But coming on to Bernardo Silva, talking about those three City players in the nominations, Bernardo Silva has also had an outstanding season.
I think maybe he's got a shout for young player. I know we're going to talk about that in a bit, but maybe more than player of the year, because I think it's going to be between Sterling and Van Dijk at the end of the day.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably, I think I can think of one other player who could have pushed to be in the six nominations. Aubameyang?
Oh,
for
yeah.
For the fact
yeah.
that he is technically at the moment top goal scorer in the league, even though he's tied, I think it goes down to minutes played
per goal.
Mm. So I mean, obviously that's an amazing stat for him, so he must be a bit feel unlucky about himself not to be in that top
well
six.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Mane as well, another one of the Liverpool players in that lineup, He's had, again, another unbelievable season, similar to the one that he had, two seasons ago, before you signed Salah.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. I think Mane could have won it last year if Salah hadn't scored all the goals.
Yeah.
I sound like Michael Owen right now, but that is what happens. You got one player that will stand for one season, whereas, I mean, Salah really hasn't done much this season. He's starting to come out of his shell a bit more now come the end, scoring goals here and everywhere now after going his longest barren run in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad they recognise Mane. This is the Liverpool fan here speaking, obviously. But I'm glad that Mane's sort of been brought to the forefront quite a bit more, you know?
Yeah,
As opposed to just sort of saying, oh, Salah's had a bad season. But now look at Mane, you know?
Yeah.
So,
to be fair, Mane has still had a very, very good season. And in their front three as well, you know, there's goals all in that front three for Firmino and Salah. But Mane has stood out for me in that Liverpool team in terms of their attacking play.
I think especially...
Obviously, Van Dijk, who has also got quite a few goals for Liverpool this season.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely because of his defensive input that he's there. He's been absolutely
If they didn't have Van Dijk at the back and they had to play... Obviously, because Gomez is injured and they had to play Lovren and Matip, Liverpool would be fighting for top four, not for top two.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you look at their defence with Van Dijk, possibly, I mean, they are first or second best defence in the league of Man City. Without Van Dijk, they are probably down there with the likes of Man United, Arsenal and Tottenham on defence.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And Chelsea should have a good defence. The players they've got in that defence...
On paper, I'd agree.
On paper, Chelsea have some of the best centre-backs in world football, or that they were until...
At one point. Like David Luiz, for example.
Rudiger. They are, and Azpilicueta, world champion. Like, they are brilliant footballers, but they haven't done it this season.
No.
Also, the other player we haven't mentioned also is Aguero, another City player in that team. But I think with him, I know he's got a lot of goals, that's given, but I don't think it's been a magnificent season for him. Would you agree?
I'd say that Aubameyang deserves to be on that list more than Aguero does.
Especially if you're considering it just by goals, you know.
I think Aguero's got there on the fact that City are fighting for top two.
Because it is just
between the top two teams and then Hazard snuck in there. So, really, anyone could have snuck in there in Hazard's place. That could have been probably a lot of people they had in mind. But with Aguero, I mean, is it probably 7 years at City? Maybe longer?
It's been longer 10? Than that. I think it's about 10.
So, not being funny, I think he hasn't had a bad season,
I think,
ever.
Vincent Kompany's been there around 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Not fairly close to that.
But Aguero hasn't had a bad season at Man City.
No. Ever. He's always consistently been one of the top scorers in the league.
He's broke their goal scoring record. He's the highest scoring Man City player ever.
I think he's the highest scoring non-European player in the Premier League history.
Didn't he eclipse Drogba?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure he did.
But you compared, you know, although he's got a lot of history, you know, in the Premier League, it should be judged on that season alone, as opposed to, oh, look, he's been a good scorer in the past. Oh, look, he scored a lot more this season. Oh, well, that must mean a lot, you know.
Yeah, the thing is, he's been up there this season. I think he's still top three in top goal scorers this season.
I think he might even be joint top with Aubameyang and
The
Salah.
Problem is, for me, Aubameyang's just, he's been better, but also, to be the top scorer in the league, or joint top scorer in that league, in the Arsenal team, which... They've had some good performances. That obviously they went on that 22-game unbeaten run. But considering their position and some of the results they've had, it's tougher to do that in that team, I would say. Also, the competition with Lacazette as well,
who's also had
a good season, but again, nowhere near the likes of Aguero or Aubameyang, who should be on that list.
So I've now researched it, and Aguero, Salah and Aubameyang all tied on 19 goals. So that's quite weird. That is quite weird, isn't it? That's very precise.
I wasn't expecting Salah to be up there because I didn't think he had much of an impact.
I think the thing is, though, before Christmas, Salah was scoring left, right and centre. Then he went on that run where he didn't score for a while. I think Salah's got
more goal contributions than Sadio Mane.
Which is mental.
Because of the fact that he isn't living up to the hype that he did last season, you know, what did he have? 36 plus goals.
So I'd like to know how they get their nominations in, because obviously we've just looked at that. Salah technically should be in there over Mane. But then I guess because Mane's been consistent all season, whereas Salah hasn't, I think that might be the reason Mane has pipped him to the nomination.
Which is, you know, it's good, really, because...
It's nice to see different players in there.
Yeah, because, you know, it shouldn't be judged just on goals, because that's ridiculous. I know it's football and goals get you the advantage, but, you know, if you're looking at a whole season, then that's, you know, not always the way forward, is it?
Stats don't mean prizes.
Well, there you go.
I think there's one more player that I'd say had a chance of getting in there, but after recent performances, it's been a bit more lacklustre, and that's Paul Pogba.
Yeah. Ugh.
Who's had lots of goal contributions this season. He's got over 10 goals.
This is Pogba's highest goal scoring and goal contribution season ever.
I know, but it's been in a Manchester United team that
who have been awful.
Currently have been awful.
I am the token Man United fan in this podcast.
There you go.
I will say that this is one of the worst seasons I've ever seen Man United play. In the 19 years I've watched them, this is the worst team they've had. Not on the fact of who they are, it's the way they've played and the way they've treated people within and in and around the team. I mean, they, before Solskjaer got there, they had possibly the best manager in world football in charge.
But they were
and they
just
treated him like crap.
Yeah.
And they just they disrespected him. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, before he was official manager, lost one. Since he's been manager, I'm pretty sure they've lost 5 out of 7. It seems to me there's a lot of players in that team that need to go. That's why Man United haven't fought for the title.
Yeah, I think that's a similar situation with Chelsea. There's a lot of deadwood in the team that needs...
Both teams need to sort themselves out. There's going to be a lot of big players on their way out this summer.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
Man
United especially. I don't think you'll be seeing Lukaku next season. There's a couple of other big players. I mean...
No, I know Lukaku said he wanted to leave... back when Jose Mourinho was around. But I think he also said last season as well that he wanted to leave for Juve. This was obviously before they bought Ronaldo.
Now, expressed they'd like Lukaku. They'd like to play him alongside Ronaldo. Yeah. I mean, good for them. I'd like to see Lukaku go somewhere where he played like he did at Everton and West Brom. Because then he was unbelievable. He had a really good first... This is his third season with United, right?
Yeah.
First two seasons at United, he was brilliant. He adapted really well. But the different style of play this season has ruined Lukaku because he can score the goals. Everyone knows that he is one of the best young strikers in world football. He scored more goals by age 23 than any of the big players you can see now: Messi, Suarez, Ronaldo. He scored more, and he's just fallen off the track. So, Man United need to bring in a new batch of players, definitely to sort that team out.
Yeah,
and enough of me being depressed. We'll move on to Young Player of the Year.
Yeah, Young Player of the Year. So the nominations for that, we've got Sterling and Bernardo Silva in that category again after, blinding seasons for both of them.
Yeah.
Then we've got David Brooks from Bournemouth, Marcus Rashford, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Declan Rice.
So I think everyone in there deserves a nomination except Rashford. Mm. He's had a good season, but in an awful team like Man United this season... Rashford shouldn't be in there because there's a lot more he could have done.
Yeah.
Like, he's young, he's still adapting to football, but no way do I think he deserves a nomination. And that's coming from me, the Man United fan.
Yeah, I think there could definitely be some other players in there, like Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace, for example.
I don't know how the hell he's not in there. I mean, other than Van Dijk, he's been probably the standout defender this season.
I mean, I think he has one of the highest tackle percentage
in world football.
I think it's over 90%, surely.
It's stupid.
Something like that, isn't it?
Like,
yeah.
If you go by how Palace are doing in the league, I mean, they're safe, I believe, now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's helped them.
I think you can disregard that, to be honest, because, you know, I think, actually, Crystal Palace have been quite a good team this year.
Wan-Bissaka's been the best right-back in the Premier League this season.
Yeah. I mean, and then you've got Alexander-Arnold in there.
That's tricky because I don't know whether I'd go with him or Alexander-Arnold.
See, I'd go with Wan-Bissaka because Alexander-Arnold being injured.
I think as a Liverpool fan, I would enough. As well, to be honest. Actually.
This is what I don't understand. Like, Alexander-Arnold, of course, had a good season, again, like he has before, but he hasn't been fit all season. So why a player who's played enough every game, I don't understand why Wan-Bissaka doesn't warrant a place in there.
And in that Liverpool team, if you compare, you know, Robertson on the left-hand side...
Oh, to be fair, Robertson's had a much better impact.
Exactly, yeah. But
also,
obviously, he's not player of the year.
No.
Obviously, no. But...
If you look at those nominations, even without Wan-Bissaka being in there, I would say Wan-Bissaka's had a better season than the four that aren't in the player of the year. Obviously, Sterling and Silva are up for both.
Yeah, I'd say Wan-Bissaka's had a better season.
All of them.
Than all of them, bar the two Man City players.
100%. I mean, Declan Rice had a fantastic... He's had a fantastic breakthrough season.
He's had a great breakthrough season, but he's only really come into the fold this year in terms of his really good performances.
He stepped in, am I right in saying he stepped in September over Aubameyang, who got injured?
Yeah.
And yeah, he's kept his place. I believe since he's played near enough every minute this season.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's...
Which is unbelievable. He got his England call-up after fobbing off Ireland. Fair play. He's played for England. He's had a brilliant season, done all that. But you put him in a team like Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, he will not shine as much as he does in the West Ham team. He's playing alongside a 33-year-old Mark Noble who hasn't got the legs anymore. I mean, he just likes to tackle, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But when you've got a player like Rice playing alongside him, Rice does look a lot better.
Mm. Yeah. I remember watching the West Ham Man United game and Rice dominated that midfield. He controlled 100%. Literally everything.
That was
and
a great
done
game.
That for
was.
Quite a few games this year. But I think the problem is it's only been this year that he's done that. If he'd been doing that all season, absolutely fair play, put him in that.
Yeah, I mean, before Christmas, people were talking about Rice coming into the fold, the young centre-back who's moved into holding midfield, he likes to push the ball forward. Then after Christmas, people are like, oh, this guy can actually play. He deserves a place in the England squad. Well, obviously, Southgate has listened, Southgate's watched, and he's named him in that team. He got his start, he's played. But, again, there could be other people in there over Rice in for a nomination.
Yeah. So from that list, who do you think David
Brooks. Yeah. 110% yeah. David Brooks.
I totally agree with that.
He has come from the Championship with Sheffield United.
Sheffield United.
He has been unbelievable. The way that guy can... Everyone talks about... I believe he's Welsh, David Brooks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying he could get into the England team. People spoke about Hudson-Odoi this season, about how good he is on the wing, Jadon Sancho. I believe David Brooks has been as good as those two this year. He just doesn't get the media attention because he isn't an English player.
I think you're right with that. Yeah,
obviously,
definitely.
Because, I mean, Wales aren't as good a team as England. Everyone knows that. They've got Gareth Bale. But David Brooks, if anything, he's been the best Welsh footballer this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, in the UK, he has shone. And I believe he's like 17 or 18. He's quite young.
He's
still
a
teenager.
Older. I think he might be in his 20s.
Yeah, well, however old he is, this season he deserves it. He's played in a team with Ryan Fraser and Callum Wilson, who combined are two goals between them.
He's 21, apparently.
Did not expect that. I thought he was younger than that.
There you go. But still a young player.
In that
so
team, he's playing alongside Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser, who have both had injuries this season. So he's been an ever-present near enough, Brooks. Wilson and Fraser have assisted and goals scored between them. A lot of goals. They're very close to the record. Don't know who holds it of the most goals and assists between two people. But other than those two, Brooks has done a lot for that Palace team, this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brooks has been amazing. I mean, he has adapted to Premier League life better than any Championship football in a long time.
Than most players, yeah.
Talking about players, you look at that Fulham team and that Huddersfield team who have gone down, and Brooks has shown how well you can play if you come up from the Championship.
I think he's genuinely kept Bournemouth up this year as well, actually.
They've gone through some rough patches.
They would have
been fighting for relegation. I believe they've just
14,
got safety.
They are.
Yeah.
14th.
So, how many points are they on?
41.
Yeah, so they are just
so
safe.
Just
40
about.
Is
yeah,
now
just safe,
40
yeah.
is now the mark you've got to get.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I think Brooks, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We don't have to talk about Sterling and Silva because obviously
they've obviously been good. And if either of them get Player of the Year,
obviously they should win.
They should win Young Player, but I don't know if they'll do it like that. I reckon if Sterling was to win Player of the Year,
Silva might get
Silva or whoever. Gets voted for. I don't think a player will come away with both.
I don't think a player should be in both because if they're up for one,
no,
They should allow, with all the players in the Premier League season, they should allow some more people to get in there for nominations.
Yeah, I think it's a real shame because I really don't think Brooks is going to win it because, I don't know, I just don't.
With Sterling being in there.
With Sterling and Bernardo Silva being in there, I don't think Brooks will win it. But if you took those two out and put maybe Wan-Bissaka and someone else.
Yeah. And with the amount of attention that Rice got earlier in the year, he's definitely a shout as well. Obviously,
Obviously, Sterling and Silva are better than David Brooks. Mm. I mean, there's no doubt about that. David Brooks is a young player. He's come up from the Championship, first season in the Prem. But Silva and Sterling are world-class players who've played at the highest level of European football, World Cups, all that sort of snaz. So Brooks is being held back a bit there. But can we think of any other players, young players that could get in there? I think, I don't know, Harry Winks?
Harry Winks might be able to get in there because he had quite a few good performances this season, especially when
Dyer was out.
Injuries. Yeah. Well, Dyer and Ali went out, and I think that was... Was that when they were playing Borussia Dortmund in the Champions
League? Yeah, I think
Winks
it was.
He was brilliant.
He played in that midfield against like Mahmoud Dahoud and players like that, and he did really well. So there's players like that. I don't think there's any other young players... I mean, Phil Foden,
maybe, but
he doesn't get the start. So that's the issue with Foden. Guardiola hasn't started him as much as he should have.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably other players in and around. I can't think of... Ainsley Maitland-Niles for Arsenal. He's had an okay season.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, we can't rename anyone else that has stood out this season.
Callum Hudson-Odoi hasn't had enough starts.
No.
And now that he's injured for 6 to 9 months, which is a pain in the arse for me.
It's gutting for him. Just getting his England place. He's just started starting for Chelsea.
Yeah, it looked as if he was now a solidified starter for us. But yeah, I think he's got a ruptured Achilles. So he's out for 6 to 9 months. So basically,
yeah,
pretty sure
that's
career-ended injury sometime. That's what ended David Beckham's career. Like, so that he's lucky that he's young. He's got that injury now.
Yeah.
Rather than giving it a couple more years because that could end his career. I mean, it's good that he's just started playing well. It's, I mean, shame he's got his injury, but he will come back a lot stronger after his injury. And I think with the likes of Chelsea looking like they're going to lose some players in the summer.
Yeah. Hazard potentially being the biggest one.
Yeah. That's,
Real Madrid
that's, yeah.
in there
yeah.
for him. I mean, it's
and
a
only
big 100 shout.
Million. Apparently,
he's worth more than that.
He's worth so much more than that.
If you can get players like Coutinho and Dembele,
I know we've been there's been talk about us going for Coutinho, but I don't know how much he'll help us because he hasn't had great performances
at
Barcelona.
Best game of the season was against Man United.
Yeah, that's true.
Like it had to be then, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
He went old school Coutinho. He's back playing the English side, and he pulled out the Liverpool boots. Obviously, I mean. I think if Coutinho came to the Prem again, the only team he'd go to should be Liverpool.
Yeah.
I can't see him playing for anyone else.
No, I can't either.
I'd want us to go in for someone like Nicolas Pepe from Lille.
Unbelievable
player.
Who's
had an amazing season. He's basically had a Salah-esque season in the French league.
It's a shame that he doesn't get spoken about that much because of the stupid PSG team who have billions of pounds.
Who just win everything.
I mean, they've just won the league again. Don't know how many. I mean, yes, Monaco won a couple in between, but they have dominated French football.
I mean, that's for another years. Team with a lot of money, isn't it? So
yeah,
you know,
they've done awfully this season.
Yeah, that's
funny.
True.
Well, I know they've got they've got Mbappe and Neymar, but their best player, probably up there, Dani Alves. He's just become the most decorated footballer of all time.
43 trophies.
41 trophies.
41,
he's up there
I
in
think,
the 40s
yeah,
of trophies.
Like that.
I mean, that is massive. I mean, yes, he's played for Barcelona, Juventus and PSG and probably someone before Barca. I mean, I can't go back that far. But what a player.
Was it Sevilla? I don't even know.
What a player, though. We have to give that a mention. I know PSG get hated on a lot because money is one of all these trophies and that's obvious because you used to have Lyon up there, Marseille.
Yeah, Lyon
everyone used
to
fight for it and now it's no one.
The ones who dominated.
It's a bit of a shame.
Moving on from the Premier League because I think we've covered that quite well. Today.
We have.
We're going to move on to all the Champions League action that happened over the Easter break. So I think the biggest talking points were VAR and handball incidents because there were so many of them in the Champions League.
Yeah, stupid.
I think the biggest ones were in the Spurs versus Manchester City game?
Well, I mean, being a Man United fan, I was very happy to see. Even though Man United lost, very nice to see Man City go out, because Tottenham aren't a bad team. Everyone likes Tottenham.
No, but the circumstances that they went out on with that disallowed goal.
Oof.
That's controversial stuff.
That is heartbreak.
It's two dubious decisions in that game. Llorente, possible handball.
Possible handball.
And then Aguero, he was onside, right?
I don't know. It is insanely close.
It is a difficult one, isn't it?
It's really close.
If there's no VAR, to the naked eye, that is impossible to tell whether he's offside.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If it's a decision like that, you can't change or reverse the decision if it's not clear.
No, it wasn't clear. So
I probably would have said, yeah, it is offside. But it was insane.
God, it's difficult.
Don't be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a Man City fan, you're obviously going to think it's a goal. If you're a Tottenham fan, any other English fan, you're going to not want it to be a goal, because no one wants Man City to win trophies. But it's very unfair for Man City. But Pep Guardiola, in his conference, he was very happy about it.
To be fair,
he said he likes VAR to be used. So
to be fair, he said it was the correct decision, and if it got the correct decision, then I can't complain about it.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
You know. He also said he likes VAR, but he said he thinks if VAR give a decision, he has no say in it. That's why he doesn't care what happens. Obviously, deep down, he's gutted that City are out,
obviously,
but going to focus on winning the league and the FA Cup now. So, I mean, it's massive. I mean, the handball as well. The thing with the handball decision and involving VAR is that VAR did not use all of the angles.
No,
they didn't.
There was one camera angle which was shown, which actually gave the decision, or would have given a clear decision.
Yeah.
With handball, obviously we've spoken about the IFAB rules recently. The handball rule is changing next season.
I think it might have already come into effect, because I've noticed, like, just any ball contact on the arm now seems to get blown up straight away.
Well, yeah, maybe it has. Yeah. I mean, VAR, anyone that was looking at that VAR could see that it had touched his hand.
Yeah,
it
absolutely. Yeah.
But the issue is the whole hand in a different place, position, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can't help it sometimes.
The law is so, like, unclear on that as well.
Hopefully the IFAB, with IFAB now saying that any contact has cleared it up. But I still think it's a bit dubious if, you know, the proximity sort of thing, like if you're insanely close to a player and absolutely hammer it, the player's not going to have enough time to move his hand away from the ball.
But if it moves away from the body and then, well, what they call unnatural position, whatever that means, you know,
that can
like
also
off to the
be
side, you know. But when you jump, you are going to move your hands out, aren't you?
Just move your hands either out to prevent the player from running into you.
Yeah.
Or up with your body to propel you.
You can't
upwards.
Jump
no
like
one,
a
no
penguin.
No one propels themselves upwards
exactly.
by hands by their sides, do they? You know?
This is the rule in football that doesn't even spoke about, is the whole where hands should be when you jump.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it happens. Obviously, Tottenham are going to feel a bit aggrieved as well, because
Definitely. In
the Premier League game,
yeah,
Walker... 100% a handball.
That would have been definitely a handball.
His hand literally is out to his left. He literally basketball moves it
and
off
taps
the pitch.
Yeah,
it would have 100% been a, either
handball.
It would have been a goal or the penalty should have been given.
Yeah.
I think the refereeing in that game, who was the referee again?
I'm not sure, but in the past. Well, what? Past couple of months, there's been a lot of refereeing decisions that got managers angry, particularly Neil Warnock.
Ooh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Against in the Chelsea game, all sorts of controversy.
I mean, he was right to be pissed off.
And obviously in the recent Liverpool game, all that with
the Salah dive was an absolute joke.
It was
shocking.
He got pulled. Yeah, he did get pulled.
He did make a meal of it.
He did not have
fair.
To jump.
Warnock
so
compared
that.
Him to Tom Daley, didn't
he?
Did.
He gave him a 9.9.
9.9.
Neil Warnock.
I mean, can we also talk about Neil Warnock? The face off with Mike Dean.
Yeah.
When he stood
absolutely.
In the circle.
Like,
do you think he deserved to be fined for it? I don't think he did. He didn't make any contact with the referee and didn't say any words to the ref. If anything, he stood his ground and it. Yeah, it did look a bit threatening.
Yeah,
it's not like he went up to him and hit him, though, is it?
Trademark Warnock death stares.
Yeah.
He looks into your soul.
I like Neil Warnock. I like the way he is.
He's brilliant.
I have a lot of respect for him as a manager.
I mean, for the amount of years he's been managing, he doesn't get the respect he deserves. And
no, he doesn't.
I thought Mike Dean was an absolute shambles in that
game.
He's
been a shamble for years, though.
Yeah, that's very true.
And not be funny, he and the referee who refereed the Man City-Tottenham game are supposed to be the two best referees in the league. They're supposed to be the best we can offer.
There
no chance.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance.
I think there's a few managers that have said that it doesn't matter that VAR's coming in because it's the refs that are the problem, not the VAR.
The referees aren't as good anymore as what they used to be. You go back in the years,
there's
referees
no one like
used to be so much
Luigi
better.
Kalina anymore.
Exactly. That, the amount of, you would not have disrespected that
God
referee.
No, that's the thing. Referees don't have the balls anymore. They don't. They. It needs to be brought in like in rugby. You mouth off to the ref, you're gone. You treat the ref with respect. They should start wearing mics or
also
cams,
just consistency
like
as well. That's a massive problem, isn't it?
Consistency, you know? Especially in the Premier League. I think the way the referees are in the Championship and League One and League Two is 100% so much better than it is in the Premier League. Games are more free-flowing. A lot more things get left behind. That's what referees should be like everywhere. Don't start the game or make footballers look like pansies. It's stupid.
Well, I'm not going to get into the whole referee debate that's for another day, I think.
We could probably do a whole podcast on that.
That's just a plan.
Slew referees all day. I don't care.
Okay.
That
is a plan.
Right, if we just bring it back to Champions League just for a little
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, that might be a plan as well.
I will talk about all the English teams, well, just European competition in general. Four of the eight teams left in European championships are English. This is unbelievable.
Well, it's the first time it's happened in a very long time.
Yes.
And I believe I think in the Europa League, Chelsea should be the favourites to win that tournament.
I hope so.
they should be the favourites based on the team they have. Obviously, Eintracht Frankfurt, like you said, have Luka Jovic.
Who's been unbelievable this season.
Brilliant young footballer. He's wanted by Chelsea.
He is wanted by us, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the shocking performances by Higuain. I know he scored yesterday, but
he scored a brilliant goal.
Yeah, that was a brilliant
goal. Again, only his fourth goal since he's been there.
I know.
Which is shocking. Arsenal, they technically should be second favourites.
Yeah,
out of the four teams in there, the Arsenal and Chelsea, it should be an Arsenal-Chelsea final.
I mean, they beat Napoli, so, you know.
Who are one of the... They're the second
best
team.
One of the best Italian
Italy.
Teams, yeah. So they really should be up there.
What would be nice to see as English fans is both English finals.
Yeah.
It would be brilliant. Then we know we're guaranteed the English title and everything like that. The only issue this brings about is Chelsea and Arsenal getting to the final, which means one of them has to win it.
Yeah,
and that will lose a Europa League position for English teams if one of them finishes in a Europa League position, which by the looks of it, at least one of them will.
It looks to be that,
and that could prove a lot. That could ruin a really good season for the teams like Watford and Wolves.
But to be fair, there's quite a bit with the four English teams left. For example, if Spurs or Liverpool win the Champions League, they automatically get qualification for next year's Champions League.
Yes.
Doesn't matter about the league position. As well as, well, it's going to be Europa League for Arsenal, at least Arsenal or Chelsea.
Yeah, definitely.
But if either get the if either actually win the competition,
they get straight into the Champions League.
They get Champions League.
So I don't know what the rule is on this, because I'm pretty sure it was mentioned that it could have been changing, that you are only allowed four teams.
I think that is
the case.
If this happens, though, obviously Man City and Liverpool are guaranteed top two. They are going to
qualify
for the Champions
League.
But then if Tottenham
win the
Arsenal
Champions
or Chelsea
League.
Win the Europa and Champions League, those two win, that means that If Chelsea and Tottenham win the Champions League and Europa League, and Arsenal and Man United finish third and fourth, they do not get Champions League football.
No, they get Europa League football, and then I think whoever's seventh...
Sixth.
No, I think it's whoever's seventh.
Is seventh will qualify for Europa League as well, and that's it.
Or they'll go into a playoff
like
spot.
Like Burnley did.
Yeah.
So, I like that rule.
God,
it makes
mad
it
to think that Burnley were in the qualifier. and qualifies for Europa League football.
And the season we've had this year isn't been the best, is it?
Some of the teams that have done that in the past as well.
West Ham did it.
Wasn't it Swansea one Pirate. Year as well?
Yeah, Swansea got there one
Swansea
year.
Swansea 1 year, yeah.
Yeah, when they had Michu.
That's mad, isn't it? Now they're in the Championship.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that whole Europa League, Champions League thing, when it comes down to the Europa League final, it's going to be massive.
I think it's really interesting how it could play out, you know? All these English teams well in contention.
It makes the battle for the top four in English football even more interesting because you don't have
so
to
it's
get
even more
top
in,
four
it's interesting
now.
And also pointless because if Man United get top four
Arsenal win the Europa League and go straight onto the Champions League, then Spurs finished third or fourth.
Because I'm right in saying fourth place have to qualify for the Champions League as well, don't they?
They would do if one of them win the Europa League.
I think so.
Which is, it's weird. It's all over the place. I mean, we'll do a podcast about it closer to
just
the time.
Just trying to explain it.
Yeah.
It's such a complicated thing because of English teams doing so well.
But at least this season, it's more interesting than it was last season, where everyone was just waiting to see, okay, how long is it going to be before Manchester City win it? Whereas this year, you know, the top two still up for grabs.
I mean,
the top four is up for grabs.
Yeah.
And European football seems to be a bit up for grabs with who's winning and who's losing.
If we talk about Champions League,
mm-hmm.
Jack, who do you think is going to win?
My heart says Ajax. But my head says, because of the season that Lionel Messi, fifth best player in the world... just to let you know,
fifth
best player in the world has had this season. I don't see anyone beating that Barcelona team when Messi is playing the way he is. I think he's near enough at 50 goals for this season.
Stupid. How he got voted fifth best player in the world is
ludicrous.
It is funny though. You've said about Ajax and Barca. We mentioned Frenkie de Jong.
Yeah,
he absolutely ruined.
The best player in the world.
At
Real Madrid, Luka Modric. If he can do that, obviously he should absolutely outclass Messi.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen because
whoever
voted for the Ballon d'Or was on drugs.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
You heard it here first.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Nope.
Allegedly.
No, not even allegedly. True.
That's libelous, you know.
Allegedly.
Lewis, who do you think is going to win the Champions League?
Well, in the same style as Jack, I think my heart says Liverpool, obviously as a Liverpool fan. But I think my head says Ajax, to be honest.
Really?
Because I just think that Ajax team have been unplayable recently.
Though, to be fair, there was that clip that came from the Ajax-Juventus game, which started off with the keeper, Onana, and just their tiki-taka football literally getting from one end to the pitch and the other in less than 10 seconds.
It doesn't make any sense, because Ajax are going back to the way they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When they were one of the European powerhouses. I mean, you look at the players they've had over the years. I mean, Marco van Basten, players like that, Robin van Persie, Edwin van der Sar,
Cruyff.
Johan Cruyff, one of the best footballers of all time.
Ever.
I mean, we're going to go back to that. But the fact that Ajax are doing so well and their two strikers are Klaas and Hanslar and Dusan Tadic.
One's long past it and one used to play for Southampton.
I mean, Tadic last season...
You made your own mind up
Tadic
there.
Literally finished 17th with Southampton last season. He was their standout player. He was brilliant for Southampton every season.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
I believe he's got the highest goal scoring and assist ratio
in
the Eredivisie and the Champions League.
Yeah.
He is one of only five players ever to get a 10 rating from
L'Équipe?
L'Équipe, the French sporting football magazine. That is absolutely unbelievable. Ronaldo's never even got a 10 rating off them. Messi has for his perfect hat-trick he scored a couple years back and then some random players over the years. But for Tadic to get that, a man in his 30s who finished 17th of Southampton in the Premier League last season has absolutely ripped the Eredivisie and Champions League apart this season.
Yeah. So... You'd agree then?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I have no say in who wins. None of my teams are supporter in there. Man United are out. So obviously, Man United go out to Barcelona. Barcelona win it. Doesn't look that bad for Man United. I don't want Barcelona to win it. They don't deserve it. I think Ajax deserve it.
They deserve it, without a doubt.
But I don't.
I think I'm going to go out boldly. I think they'll be in the final, whatever.
If somehow Spurs beat them, this will probably be one of the biggest games in Tottenham history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has to be.
Yeah.
that Ajax team have just outplayed everyone. They've beat the European champions of, is it 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real Madrid, who, yes, they lost Ronaldo, but that is it. I mean, they've got the same team bar Ronaldo. I mean, they've still got the best player in the world, Luka Modric. They've got Toni Kroos, Gareth Bale, Isco, Benzema.
Benzema's coming to that team.
Sergio Ramos, Marcelo, Rafa Varane. Their team is unbelievable. I mean, they've got an awful goalkeeper. But
I don't think they've been playing Courtois. I think Zidane's now gone back to playing Keylor Navas.
I mean, good name. And also, I believe he played his son in one game
as
well.
Yeah, he did.
Do you know what? If your dad's a Dan, you're lucky.
Yeah, you are.
But so Ajax have beaten Real Madrid. They then go and beat possibly the best team in the world at the moment, Juventus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went and beat them over two legs. And they've got like some Ronaldo, Dybala, players like that. You go player to player, Real Madrid and Juventus are better than
far.
I mean, Juventus are one of my shouts to win, you know, earlier overall in the season.
I thought Juventus were going to whitewash everything and win all the trophies
this
year.
They've won
their league again, blah, blah, blah.
What's it, eight in a row
eight
now?
In a row, it's stupid. Just get them out. But Ajax, I mean, we talk about Tadic. I mean, they've got two of the best young footballers in the world. Forget about PFA young player.
Yeah,
you talk about world player. You've got Matthias de Ligt and Frankie de Jong. Stupid. And I mean, Andre Onana, he's not very old, goalkeeper.
He's very young.
And then you've got David Neres, who's another brilliant footballer.
He tore Juventus to shreds.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense how good this Ajax team have been. Because last season, they were awful. But then you go 2 years back, the Europa League final was Ajax-Man United.
Yeah.
And I believe Man United beat Ajax. And the Ajax team isn't too different. They had De Ligt back then. I mean, didn't have Tadic, didn't have Huntelaar. But it just goes to show how teams adapt. Ajax go and buy players. They get Edwin van der Sar in as director of football.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That has absolutely changed the Ajax way of playing.
Definitely.
I mean, he's one of the greatest
goalkeeper
keepers
coach as well, like that.
Yeah,
know,
one mental. Of the greatest goalkeepers of all time. And then Man United, they've gone through four managers since Fergie left. They've now got a coaching team of Mike Phelan, Michael Carrick, Kim McKenna and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer Carrick and McKenna have hardly any coaching experience between the both of them. Solskjaer relegated Cardiff in his first year there. Yes, he won the league with Molde, but that's the Norwegian league. No one really cares that. And then Mike Phelan, yes, he has the coaching experience, but it just goes to show what
relegated with Hull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him when he was the manager of Hull against Bristol City in the Championship. I love Mike Phelan to bits. What an amazing coach. He's now the favourite to be the director of football at Man United. I don't know how he'll adapt to that. But if he does what Van der Sar did at Ajax, then Man United will be back big time. But don't ever see it happening. Ajax just took the better path. They took the yellow brick road.
Definitely.
They did it. They've done everything they can to get back up to being one of the European giants. And, I mean, they've proved it. They should beat Tottenham. If they get Barcelona in the final, Frankie de Jong will be sending Messi for a hot dog. Without a doubt.
There you go. And then he'll be moving and assisting him week in, week out.
Yeah, Frankie de Jong to score the winner.
Do you think if they do go on and win, a lot of their young players, such as De Ligt, Onana, David Neres...
They won't be there next season.
Yeah, do you think they won't be snapped up?
It's like what Monaco done. When Monaco won that league, Mbappe, Silva, Mendy, Fabinho, they
Bakayoko,
all left. Everyone left, and Monaco are now bottom half of the French league. Ajax will lose Neres, 100%. He's been linked with Man United, Real Madrid. He's been linked with the French teams. De Ligt linked with Liverpool, Man City, Real Madrid, Juventus, Barcelona. De Jong's already gone. Onana also likened by Man United and Real Madrid and Juventus. If they stay, then Ajax should fight to keep them because they're going to win the league this year. And they could win the Champions League.
Yeah.
They need to keep them. They could do what Real Madrid did. They've got the team. They've got the age. Yeah, Tadic and Huntelaar are getting to the end of their careers, but there's
Are they on for a treble?
I believe so. Because this could be the first time they win the league in a long time, because I know PSV have...
Would this be the first treble since Inter Milan's team? When they had Schneider and Eto'o?
When Mourinho was the manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it could be.
It might be.
Because Real Madrid haven't won all three ever since they've... when they won the three in the row, they never won three trophies.
No, because they were awful in the league.
Yeah, it doesn't make it. I mean, they're awful in the league this year.
Yeah.
There's. I mean, we could literally talk about Ajax all day and how happy they've made us this year.
I think that might be everything for today. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll be back next week with the next episode where we'll be talking about all sorts of things like the Manchester Derby that will be coming up and all the midweek Premier League results. But we'll see you in the next episode.